TalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Well Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And just whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la, 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 what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
That's memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your host, as always, Lindsay Ward. And joining me is my odd producer, Sir Rockin.
That's the anthem. Did you not know that? That's the anthem. Because this is
the
a
anthem?
New day, and that's the anthem.
Okay.
Because this is the good life. You know, that sort of thing. Hi, everybody. What's up, everybody?
You are in an odd mood.
It makes for a good show, don't it?
Yes, it does. It's always fun when you're in a weird mood.
It's always good to be in a weird mood. And, yeah, introduce the show.
Well, since I've been ordered to do what to do on my own show, we've got a lot lined up for you tonight. We are going to be talking all about, well, the news of the week. We've got a couple discussions, couple rants, and, of course, all the news from tonight's exciting Impact Wrestling, because, yeah, stuff went down. But before we get to all that, we have our question of the night.
And it goes as follows. If you could give a wrestler a Daniel Bryan-style beard, who would you give a Daniel Bryan-style beard to? And, yes, I did the air quotes as every time I said Daniel Bryan.
Wow.
And we're going to get into the news and all that fun stuff. I'm going to just tease it, the news that no one else has reported yet. The tease is Facebook official. So...
Facebook official?
That's your tease for the news I have to break on this show.
Okay, well, there's something to do with Facebook official, but before we get to that, I think we ought to lead off with, well, really, the biggest news of the news of the week, and no, it is not Brie Bella's nipple. Or Nikki Bella's nipple,
no,
whichever
it,
one it,
it,
was.
It was Brie. It was Brie.
Okay, it was Brie. It's not Bella nipple. Sorry. We'll get to that in a minute.
Bellagate.
Bellagate, 2013.
It's like Babygate, but, you know, well, they all do tie together. There is Babygate, and there is, you know, anyway, continue.
If anyway, we're going to start with probably the biggest story, which is yet more releases have come from TNA. And this one has actually caused quite a bit of controversy. There are people who are mixed on this, who seem to have issues with this, and understandably so. And that is, of course, the release of Jesse Sorensen. If you don't know who Jesse Sorensen is, he broke his neck in a match with Zema Ion about a year and a half ago. I believe it was on pay-per-view.
It was January pay-per-view, I believe. It was either January or February pay-per-view of 2012.
Yes, and so if you haven't seen it, it's pretty nasty looking. I believe you can go find it on YouTube. But since that time, Jesse actually has been recovering. He is incredibly lucky. He has actually pretty much fully recovered. He was cleared to wrestle back in November, but has not had any ring time as of yet. And so, basically, until that time, he's been working backstage as a production assistant for TNA. And part of this controversy is that Dixie Carter very famously came out and said, after this happened, that Jesse would have a job with TNA for life.
Right.
And a lot of other wrestling shows have talked about this. We're not going to be an exception. But before I get into it, how do you feel about it, Rock?
You know, I've sat here and I've listened to everybody, you know, go off about this whole situation. I have no problem with them releasing it because, well, it's a budget cut. And in the facts of life and the way things go, people lose their jobs. And in this case, he lost his job because of TNA needing to cut the budget. He got injured. We understand that, and Dixie promised him one thing, and, you know, things happen. And this is just one of them. Things happen. He lost his job. I see all the, I know all the hate. I understand it. But it's not needed, especially for a guy who is okay with this fact. Because there's been a lot of speculation abound about, oh my god, he's pissed off and blah blah blah, and he started this campaign for money and was upset and pissed off. He's fine.
Yeah, and we'll get into the campaign for money in a minute.
But what are your feelings on it?
I'm kind of the same opinion. You know, it stinks that they had to let him go, and to be perfectly honest, he was actually getting paid at a talent rate for being a production assistant, which is incredibly generous of the company. They didn't have to do that for him, but they did. And, you know, I don't think this was anything personal against him. It's just business, and sadly, TNA is facing major financial problems right now. It's no secret they're facing major financial problems, and seeing as Jesse's being paid at a talent rate when he's not talent anymore is a little kind of unfair to the rest of the talent, because essentially they have to make the decision between keeping Jesse on as a production assistant or keeping somebody else on that can perform in the ring. And sadly, when it comes to talent, you're going to keep that person that can perform in the ring. Now, that's not to say that they could not rehire him later down the road. It isn't to say that they couldn't renegotiate his rate for slightly less, or we don't know if any of that happened or if any of that will happen. But they had to make a business decision, and it's really, really kind of tragic that they were forced to do that. But I can understand it completely. I mean, I think a lot of people are forgetting that Dixie and the company have done everything they can to do right by him since the accident occurred. They paid for his medical costs. They paid for his rehab. They gave him a job as a production assistant backstage. They've waited a year and a half for him to recover, and he has yet to hit the ring. So,
for the moment, because we have news about that in a moment.
Yes, we do have news about that as well, which we'll get into. But yeah, it's, I think I can understand the outrage, and I can see why a lot of people are upset. But at the same time, it's, I can understand it as a business decision. And that's what this was. This was a business decision. This was nothing personal. There are no bad feelings on either side. Jesse issued a statement in which he said that he's very grateful to Dixie and the company and is not upset, and he's fine.
Right. As of an hour ago, here's a tweet. He cites an infallibility. It is true, when one door closes, another one opens. Very blessed.
Yes, and what's kind of interesting is a developing story is this bodybuilding story that came out in which somebody, supposedly Jesse, put out a fundraiser for $500, or to raise $500, I should say, to enter a bodybuilding competition.
Right.
And it has since come out that that was not Jesse Sorensen that put that out.
This whole donation page thing has gotten way out of hand. The page was made by a concerned friend of mine, because I had planned on dropping out of competition. I personally never asked for anything from anyone, but do appreciate the help of my friend and the fans who donated to it.
So the question is, did he get the money?
I don't know. It does not. He has not stated whether that he's got the money or not on Twitter, which is at Jesse Sorensen.
So it's kind of an interesting developing story. But this is one of the many things that has blown up the internet this week. And trust me, oh interwebs, you're gonna so get it later.
And another thing, he is going back to work.
Yes, he is going back to work.
He is getting in the ring this Saturday in Tampa, Florida, for FUW Pro Wrestling. So go to FUWrestling.com for more information on how you can see him in action.
Yes, so go check him out. Go support him. Cheer him on. And somebody put out there how he did, or at least put it on YouTube so we can see how he does. And best of luck to him. Seriously, best of luck to him, because it's a freaking miracle he's not dead.
Yeah, it is.
It really seriously is a miracle that he's not dead. And so,
Florida, quick, get Alan, Kinkin says. Well, it is Tampa. So, there you go.
So, moving on. We are going to talk about, well, another TNA story, which includes, well, one Taz, who was, again, not there this evening, but, again, they took the tape this in Louisville, so he wasn't there last week. Makes sense.
He had the night off. He was given the night off, as apparently he's been given the night off for every Destination X event over the last couple of years.
Yes, and this was given to him by Bruce Pritchard before Pritchard got canned, and, well, Pritchard didn't bother to tell anybody. So, yeah. That's a whole other can of worms.
Hashtag Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, the story involving Taz, aside from the fact that he was given the night off and nobody told him, was that apparently he did try to get re-signed with WWE. He tried to get re-signed very hard with WWE, especially in time for the event in Brooklyn. And, well, it never came to fruition. I believe he was told by Kevin Dunn.
They had no need for him. Taz is not the person they want being their announcer. And if he was, he would be with the company. But sadly, he is not what they want, as they're going in directions with the likes of JBL, Jerry the King Lawler, and apparently in a couple weeks, Alex Riley on SmackDown.
That should be an interesting mix. But what came out of this story is not necessarily that Taz tried to get hired by WWE. We all figured that was going on. But comments that were made by Triple H in addition to this, in which Triple H came out and said that they don't have anyone we want, referring to TNA.
That's interesting. And if you think about it, because we went over this the other night just offhandedly, just looking over the roster, and you go, at this point, should WWE be taking mid-30-year-olds and putting them on their full-time roster?
And the answer to that, I think, is honestly no, which is really sad, because TNA does have a lot of talented guys, and if the worst-case scenario happens, not saying that it will, you know, there's always the chance that they could make plays for WWE, and I know, or I've heard, I should say, that some people have made plays to check into going to WWE.
Right.
Don't know who, we don't know if it's true, but some people have sort of started sending out feelers given the state of TNA. And that's kind of an interesting comment, but at the same time you can understand it, because if you look at a lot of the guys, especially the TNA originals that came in and have been there for 11 years now, it makes sense why they wouldn't want them.
Because it would take them at least a couple of years to actually get that talent over to a wider audience. Which is why a guy like Rob Van Dam can pop right in, because they spent years promoting Rob Van Dam. The WWE Universe knows Rob Van Dam, but the WWE Universe, in a large scale, doesn't know AJ Styles. They don't know Samoa Joe. They don't know Bobby Roode. It's harder for them to get over as a WWE talent in the WWE Universe at this point than a guy that has already been there. And if you look at the developmental system, you have guys like Cassius Ohno, which was, I believe, Chris Hero on the indie scene. He's not up on the roster yet. And you got all these guys with, you know, name value on the indie scene, but it takes them a year or two to get into the WWE. It probably wouldn't take as long, but it would still take some time. It's not like, oh, let's have you jump ship and you're, you know, main eventer, upper mid card main eventer. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it's the thing about it is that people forget about the WWE developmental system is there is a WWE style. And whenever somebody goes into the developmental from the indies or from another company, unless they are an already established star like your RVDs, like your Jeff Hardys, who understand that style, they go right into developmental and they are taught that style. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to interviews with the likes of Alberto Del Rio, where he talks about going into the developmental system and how he was initially offended, and then he discusses how he had to learn that style, and he's grateful that he had to learn that style, because right. He doesn't think he could have made it in the company. And we're actually going to talk a little bit about the WWE style when we get to Impact, because it's kind of interesting regarding the Ultimate X.
Yeah, we have some interesting comments regarding Ultimate X tonight, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yes, so it was just kind of a to keep using the word, interesting comment from Triple H. And I can totally understand that, because TNA is now kind of hitting that moment where their roster is getting older and they don't have many younger stars on that payroll anymore.
Right. All the guys we like are kind of, sadly, mid to late 30s.
They're all around the same age. They've all pretty much peaked, some more than others. And they're getting into that stage where they're starting to... some of them will start to age out or phase out. Because, I mean, think about this. Christopher Daniels is in his 40s.
Yeah, he is.
Which is awesome that he's still going. I mean, I'm not trying to knock anybody for their age, but at the same time, it's like eventually your age does catch up to you and you're not able to do the same things that you're able to do anymore.
Right.
And that, you know, that happens to all our favorite wrestlers, sadly. I mean, Taker's a prime example of that. So, it's just, yeah, it's kind of one of those things that it was slightly, because you would think, you know, they would want some people, but it's like, okay, Hunter doesn't want any of them already.
Maybe a few years ago, but now it's WWE has a new way of getting talent, and right now it's not pulling it from TNA.
Nope, it's not.
So there you go.
And I have really no transition for this next story.
So you basically
you have one.
No transition, sort of, but so we could just take a wrong turn.
I guess we can take a wrong turn, yeah.
Sort of like Jerry Lawler did.
Wait, Jerry Lawler took a wrong turn?
Yeah.
Did he go in the old folks' home by mistake?
No, sadly he did not go visit Tim Stein. No, instead, he just took a wrong turn. I believe he went towards Dallas? I believe that was the story.
Jerry Honey, wrong JR. Wrong JR.
Yeah, he went 4 hours away instead of going to Laredo. I have my map right, Laredo. But he went four hours the other way towards Dallas. Apparently there's a way you can, you know, take one road, and then if you turn one way, it's towards this way, and then it's towards the other way. So he went 4 hours away towards Dallas instead of going to Laredo, where Raw was being taped on Tuesday. So, well, he had to fly from Dallas to Laredo. Thank you, Vince McMahon. So yes, Jerry Lawler took a wrong turn, but he made it to Monday Night Raw.
Oops. And apparently he was the butt of a lot of jokes.
Apparently, yeah. Sorry, Jerry.
Sorry, Jerry. That's okay. We all do it. We've all done it.
You all can get lost somewhere. It happens.
But speaking of being the butt of jokes, and I guess speaking of having to apologize...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who live under a rock, and those of you that did not see Monday Night Raw... well, there was apparently a little bit more of Brie Bella than any of us were expecting to see. And it seems that in the segment with Jerry Lawler and the rest of the cast of Total Divas, Brie's tape gave way and, well, we got a little bit of nipple action. I'm trying to say this as polite as I can, and there's just no way.
Did you just say nipple action? Really?
I did. I don't know how else to phrase it. Essentially, we got a nip slip on Monday Night Raw. Go to PW Mania. They have, like, a bunch of pictures. I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
But this is not the story. No. Although it is a story in and of itself. This is not the story. What the story is that after the incident occurred, WWE was reportedly furious with her over it happening, even though it's really not her fault that, you know, your dress gives way and oops, there it is. But she was actually forced to apologize on Twitter, citing the excuse that the humidity inside the building must have caused her tape to give way, and that's what happened.
So basically, Lindsay, what this boils down to is this. Eventually, if this thing would actually load, which.
High end, so high end, so high end.
Really?
Oh!
It got hot in here. So, you know, she took off all of her clothes.
Not quite, but close enough for government work, I guess. Yeah. I think it's a little ridiculous she was forced to apologize, but at the same time...
Who didn't catch it? Like, who... There's a 7-second delay on Monday Night Raw. There is, and... Like, they just left it right there. Not just for a split second. It was there.
Yeah, it was there for a good 5 to 10 seconds, and I guess, I don't know whether the camera guy didn't catch it, I don't know whether the...
Oh no, the camera guy
truck didn't...
The camera guy caught it.
Oh, the camera guy definitely caught it, but I don't know if he saw it in the frame. I think, because I actually had to go back and watch Raw again to see it. Like, everybody knows, or if you're new to the show, I'm in Utah, and we're on a 3-hour delay. So I actually get Monday Night Raw... after it's actually aired. So I had to watch it again after watching it on a stream. That is legal. Just pointing that out. It is legal.
Slingbox. It works perfectly.
Slingbox, it's amazing. Go get it if you don't have it. It's awesome. You can watch TV from anywhere. Anyway, had to watch Raw again and had to rewatch that segment specifically to catch it. And sure enough, there it was.
Right, if you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't have seen it. But then when you go back and look at it a second time, it's like, oh, there's the nipple.
Yeah, it's like, oh, oops, there it is. Oh my.
Oops.
Well, that was more of her than I ever wanted to see. Okay.
But you can see more of her this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on E!
Yes. For Total Divas.
Which we will be getting into later in program.
Yes, because, well, we have some things to discuss about Nikki, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, yes. Poor thing. And speaking of poor thing, awkward transitions all the way through this news segment. There's a lot of news, sorry. Well, there was another thing that happened on Raw. Well, that was supposed to happen on Raw that actually didn't happen on Raw.
What didn't and happen?
And that would be the fact that, well, the Big Show was supposed to debut.
Well,
a re-debut.
Well, it's
a return.
Well, it's not the Big Show. There was no Big Show on Monday Night Raw. I was like, huh? Here's the big return ad, big preview, big tweet. No Big Show.
No Big Show.
Where was the Big
Which
Show?
Which was, yeah. Well, yeah. The Big Show seems to still be hurt.
Yes, he does.
Apparently he was limping around still at Money in the Bank, and he was having issues, so they decided to call off the return until he is well enough to actually return.
Yes, he did not pass medical testing, as it were. He did not get medical clearance to return because of his injured knee. And many speculate what the Big Show was going to do on Raw. We thought, what do we think, Lindsay, when we heard it? You know, he's going to be there, and then things transpired.
Well, honestly, I thought he was going to be there to be the third person for Daniel Bryan to face.
See, that's where we were wrong.
We were wrong.
He was actually scheduled to do a run-in during a different match.
Really? What match?
He was actually scheduled to run in during not during a match. He was supposed to save Mark Henry. It was not supposed to be the Usos.
Interesting.
Because the original idea, so let me find the thing of Bob. Give me one moment in time. If this would load, there we go.
Spoiler alert!
It is scheduled to be, or it was scheduled to be at one point in time, Big Show and Mark Henry versus The Shield at SummerSlam.
I guess plans change.
Plans do change, so that's... So the Usos ran out instead of the Big Show, who apparently could not run because of, well, his knee.
Yes, so hope he gets better, hope he's feeling better, and he comes back soon. And until then, I guess we'll see him on commentary for pay-per-views.
Most likely, yes.
So, yay! And lastly, somebody else is feeling better, though.
Who's that?
That would be one Scott Hall.
Really?
Yes, really. News came out that he has moved out of DDP's accountability crib. He's still in Atlanta. He's moved into an apartment with his son. And so it seems that Scott is doing very well. He's out of the house. Obviously, he's still close enough to DDP that if he needs him, he's there. But he's out of the house. He's clean. He's sober. He's obviously healthy.
Which is good. And we hope it lasts.
Oh, we pray it lasts. I hope this really takes for Scott.
Yeah, we really hope so.
Go ahead, sorry.
I said we really hope it does. We really hope he stays on the straight and narrow this time around. And hopefully his son keeps him on that path.
Yes, so all the best wishes to them, wherever they're living. I hope it's a safe area. I hope it's a nice area. Findings is awesome, just pointing that out. Yeah, just saying. You split there. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, I'm all out of stories. What do you have?
So, I teased in the pre-show and at the top of the program right here, the rack, on WildTalkRadio.com, that things became Facebook official, or some people found out about Facebook official things. And when you hear Facebook official, what does that mean to you?
It means somebody has an official Facebook?
No. That people are now in a relationship.
Oh, dear.
So we're breaking kayfabe for a moment. Tyler Klutz, do you know who that is?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
That is your current Raw general manager, Brad Maddox.
Okay.
He has found himself a main squeeze.
Oh, dear. Coming to Total Divas.
Well, maybe you would want this one. April Mendez, a.k.a. AJ Lee.
Interesting. So he's dating the crazy chick. Alrighty.
It's Facebook official. This was courtesy of the Wrestling Observer newsletter that I read this morning. Yes. AJ Lee and Brad Maddox are a couple.
Is it wrong that I'm thinking that maybe the only way he'll actually get over?
Maybe. But yeah, that's the Facebook official news. Worth the tease, huh?
Definitely worth the tease.
So that's all I got. That was the one piece of news item that I was able to dig up. And the chat room's like, what? What the? Huh? So there you go.
Yeah, so nobody actually cares, but it's interesting than anything else.
It just crushed a lot of people. She's off the market.
Well, she's not married.
This is true. She is not married. And, well, it's a good thing.
Yes, good thing. So maybe it will come to Total Divas, and maybe we'll get to see if AJ really is as crazy in life as she is everywhere else.
Maybe.
Maybe. So on that note, I say we throw it to our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact and what happened. Did Chris Sabin keep his title? You'll have to tune in to find out. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. I never knew that a kid like me could take his mic around the world and flash the big-ass ditty and rock the masses. From Madrid to Calabasas, Tijuana, Mexico, through the devils in Tokyo. Say they know me, though, because I'll be putting in work. Commit my life to rebirth. Well, respect it, because that's my word. And I'm sure you heard about a new sound gone round. She might have left my hood, but she was born in my town. You didn't know how we was doing the scene. But it's alright, it's alright. I know you know, I see you smiling at me. But it's alright, it's alright. Here comes the, ready or not. Here comes the boys for the sound. Here comes the, ready or not. How you like me now, I say.
And now, haiku time. With René Dasso, Diane, some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but later is a slot.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy Talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Tycoons are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the
show.
Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much. I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big, well,
I salt myself real bad. Wow.
Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Alright. I'm Bob, your godfather of trade, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and the first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Talk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's MemLanePromo.com. And this segment of the show brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNA Asylum, the haven for TNA fans, because now we are going to jump right into tonight's exciting Impact.
Let's get into it. This was an interesting show and different follow-up than, last week's show.
It definitely was, and it is Hail Saban indeed. Well, at least for some, not all. The show opens with the Main Event Mafia making their way to the ring. Sting then takes the mic and he says that last week was the best night ever because they got to see Chris Sabin win the title. And, I kind of agree with him.
Hold on. He said it was the best night ever since he got into pro wrestling. Since he got into pro wrestling kind of sort of made me scratch my head. But it was a good night last week. But his best night ever? That's hard to, really say. For Sting, especially.
Yeah, for Sting, especially, but still, best night ever. Yay. Saban wins. Yay. Sting claims that the Main Event Mafia have won their first battle in a very long war against Aces and Eights. Angle then takes over, and he got some interesting chants during this.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the Aces are going to feel all the pain that they have caused over the past year or so, and they're going to feel it tenfold. But Main Event Mafia, they're not here for a fight. No, no. They're here to party.
It's them to party.
Yo, yo, yo. Angle then repeats the mantra that they are here for two things. They are here to take down Aces and Eights and Bully Ray.
And number three, break producer.
You're welcome. Angle says that they accomplished their second goal last week by costing the Bully the title. but that they still have a long way to go. That angle says that he would love to introduce the brand new world heavyweight champion, one Chris Sabin. Sabin then comes out to cheers and chants. He thanks the fans and the Main Event Mafia. He says that without them running off the Aces and Eights last week, he wouldn't be champion right now. So from the bottom of his heart, thank you. Sabin says it feels like a dream being a champion, but this is reality, and he knows that he's a marked man. He knows that Joe, Magnus, and everyone else wants this title. But he's about making history. He made history last week, and he's going to make it again this week. So he makes the challenge to whomever wins tonight's Ultimate X match and becomes the new X Division champion to a match next week live on TNA Impact. But, well, you would think this would bring out the contestants of the Ultimate X match, but it doesn't. Instead, we get Bully Ray. And his lawyer?
Yeah, he wasn't alone. You know, the Aces and Eights never walk alone, but apparently this week he doesn't walk with them. He walks with his attorney. What?
Yeah, what? Anyway, the lawyer then takes the mic, and I swear to God they did something to his voice. They were doing something to it. I don't know what, because that did not sound natural. But anyway, the lawyer says that there was a grievous injustice last week. Where's the shield? I keep hearing injustice. Where's the shield?
Sierra, whatever. Anyway, continue.
And that because of this injustice, they have filed a lawsuit against Impact Wrestling.
Oh, no!
The lawyer says that there is a way to stop this, of course. If Sabin hands Bully the title right now, this will all be resolved. It will all go away. The lawyer tells us that, well, basically, if Sabin doesn't do it, he's going to crush their world.
No!
A little overdramatic, but okay. He goes on to say that the ramifications will be felt through the entire wrestling world. And there's more cheesy threats made by the lawyer. And then we're informed that Sabin has until the end of the night to make the decision to hand the title over, or all hell is going to break loose.
So after all this whole thing, I was waiting for the lawyer to go, too sweet! Because he looked like Kevin Nash.
I was waiting for Joseph Park, and actually it was funny because Joseph Park was tweeting during this segment.
Oh, he was tweeting all night, and I made some last minute additions to Tweet of the Week, just pointing that out, just because of Joseph Park tonight.
Go, Joseph.
Because he was on fire tonight. This segment was interesting.
This segment was really interesting, and it kind of took everything into a different sort of turn, because the last thing you expect is for Bully and Aces to say, oh, hey, we're going to go get a lawyer, and we're going to sue you.
Well, you know any good bully, when it comes to fighting, he backs down and stands behind the legal team. So
this is true. After the
opening... before you get into it a little bit more, you just look at it, like, you know, you think, oh, the Aces and Eights is big, like, biker group, and Bully Ray, former world champion, would have money, and he pulls out the the most low-rent looking attorney ever.
Well, he wasn't that low-rent looking. I mean, they could have found somebody a lot worse looking, but yeah, it's like you would... I'm sorry, even Joseph Park dressed better than this guy.
Yeah, you could just get a better suit. It's all in the suit. Just ask Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes, it's all in the suit. So,
suit up. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, yes. After this, we cut to the back where Trent is talking about basically taking everybody's spot. We come back from break, and the roving camera is then chasing Hulk Hogan down to get a comment about the lawsuit. And Hogan tells us, well, he doesn't comment on pending litigation, and he goes back to his phone.
Of course Hogan doesn't, because, well, he's had experience on it, brother.
Brother, yeah. Just a little bit.
I just found that hilarious. He doesn't comment on pending litigation. Yeah, because the last time he did, well, there was a certain... Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, we're not going to get into the whole Spongegate incident.
We'll continue.
We'll leave it. After this, we get a kind of... It was a nice promo by TJ Perkins, a.k.a. Manic, But it was an interesting promo, and it kind of caused a little bit of an uproar because you have Manic, who is a masked wrestler, and there is TJ Perkins standing there without the mask on being interviewed about the Ultimate X match that's later tonight. And it's kind of a big no-no in wrestling to unmask a wrestler, because once you do, they're not supposed to put the mask back on, at least in Lucha Libre. And, well, they keep taking his mask on and putting it off, or taking his mask off, putting it on, taking it off, putting it on.
Yeah, it seemed very weird, but at least they addressed why he does work under the mask. And that's the best thing the most credit I can give TNA, at least they gave a reason for why he's under a mask after they revealed who he was.
Yeah, I would agree. It was a very nice promo. He explained everything. He explained why the Manic character kind of is, which was nice. And I almost would love to see him do like a Deadpool-style character with Manic.
That'd be interesting.
That would be kind of hilarious.
So this promo led to our opening contest, the three-way Ultimate X for the new X Division Championship. Sanjay Dutt, who apparently wasn't special enough to get a video package, Manic, and Greg, where's Trent Morosculo?
Yeah, poor Sanjay Dutt. This was not their best Ultimate X by far. And I hate to say that, because they all three put in a lot of effort, and you could tell. And they had some nice moments in this match, but it was very difficult to get into. It did not have your very typical fast pace for an Ultimate X. It did at certain moments, but otherwise it was kind of slowed down a little bit. And I hate to put the blame on one person, but honestly, Trent looked lost half the time.
Again, WWE style, which he didn't really work because he really wasn't wrestling, but still knew the style, and that's how he was trained over the last few years. Now he's on the indie scene, it's a whole different style, especially in TNA. The X Division is fast-paced, and this was just there. It was like, there were moments where you thought, oh, it's going to get good, and then you lose interest really quickly, especially the first half of this match. When it came back from break, you saw the match picked up a little bit. It got more, you could invest yourself a little bit more, but it, I don't know. I think with the video packages, they tried getting you invested, but this is where this whole three-way gimmick is sort of starting to wear out. You don't get really invested into a character, a guy, or a feud, or a match, especially in the X Division, and that's where this one hurt.
Right, and this could have been something of, there should have been, I know Dutt's been in pretty much every Ultimate X match there's ever been, so he's an old hand at it, but if you're going to have somebody who's never done one before, I don't think Manic was a very good choice to throw in there, because I think he's only done like two of them.
He's done a couple of them, but he was fine. Manic was okay in it. Trent seemed very out of place, and Dutt was okay, but you could tell he wasn't trying to risk his body for this.
Yeah, seeing as he got hurt in the last one, I don't think he was willing to throw himself out there like he did before, especially considering the fact that he really didn't get anything out of it. And this is a guy who separated his shoulder
and then came back
and finished the match.
Mm-hmm. Had it popped right back in and came back out.
Yeah, so it's, and TNA didn't really do anything with him after that, so I think it was more, and also he wasn't the one slated to win, even though it would have been really nice to see him win. I think it's more he was out there to be the experienced hand in the match to kind of help Manic and Trent get through, because honestly, if you had somebody else, unless you had another really experienced X Division wrestler in there, I don't think Manic and Trent would have been enough to carry that match on their own.
No, probably not. Let's talk about this finish. They went and, by the way, there was one really nice kick from Dutt, which was a hell of a kick. But then you have the finish where you had Manic was down, and you know he was trying to recover. You had Sanjay Dutt and Trent climb the structure, and not just climb the structure, but get to the very top of the structure, the dangerous part of the structure, because you saw it swaying back and forth and back and forth as they were up there. And while, you know, you go, holy crap, they might fall, or holy crap, they might do something, the time it took to get up and walk across, and just... It lost something for me in the finish. Because you knew how it would end, because it took like 3-4 minutes for them to get to the middle of it, and then Manic had his time to get up and actually, you know, shimmy across.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things that in planning it and on paper, it probably seemed really cool, but the execution of it was really lacking. And again, I think this just goes back to kind of sort of inexperience with this kind of match, where, for at least for Trent, I don't think he ever worked anything like this in WWE.
No.
So I don't think he was necessarily... I'm sure he did it on the indies. I'm not saying he's never done it. But to climb a structure and then try to hold your balance and to try and fight on the structure, not a lot of the guys in WWE or the girls do
no
that.
Not many people ever do this, because there is no one else that does a structure like this.
Right. So it's... And he was up there with the right person. He was up there with Dutt. So Dutt has done this before. He knows what he's doing.
This was a Dutt spot. He's done this spot before.
And so he was fine. I think it's just...
It was a timing issue for me. At least to me, it was a timing issue.
It was a timing issue, and it was a balance issue. They really spent more time trying to keep their balance than actually doing anything. And then it's like you go for the spot at the end where they're all three up on the structure. You have Trent sort of hanging there. You have Manic hanging upside down right by the belt. And they're all right there together. They're in the center of the ring. You have Trent take the big bump off the top, which looked like it hurt because the ring didn't seem to give any. And then you had Manic pick up the victory, which is like, yay, he picked up the victory. You know, he's the new X Division champion. But this one was just hard to get into.
Yeah, it just never clicked, is the best way to put it. This match never clicked. But Manic is your new X Division champion, and hopefully we get some good matches out of it, and they rotate some nice people involved to spice up the division.
Yeah, and I think, and honestly, I think too, it's if you've been watching TNA long enough, you in the glory days, as I would put it, we got spoiled with some just absolutely spectacular Ultimate X matches, and I think that's the standard that, at least for me, I hold it to. I don't know about you. But when I say the glory days, I mean the days when Kazarian and Daniels were still in the X Division, when Petey Williams was there, when Chris Sabin and Shelley were not a tag team and they were in the X Division.
Basically, the glory days she's referring to is before they actually built a real structure.
Pretty much, yeah. When it was completely unsafe and people could have potentially died, that's what I'm referring to. But it's...
So basically, basically what we're hearing tonight, folks, this is a Rack exclusive. Lindsay Ward loved when people could almost die in a ring.
That's not what I said, more or less. Anyway.
Publish it now. News sites, publish it now. Lindsay Ward of the Rack wants to see people die in the ring.
No, I do not want to see people die in the ring. Shut up. Anyway,
no, she doesn't want anyone to die in the ring.
No, I do not want anybody to die in the ring. Please don't put that out there that I do, because I don't. Don't. Retract. Retract!
All right, fine. I retract the statement that Lindsay Ward wants to see people die in the ring.
Thank you. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, moving on.
Shut up. Trying to make a point. I think, at least for me, I got spoiled by the old-school X Division matches, and specifically Ultimate X, and that's kind of what I've always held
basically,
the X Division to. And
right.
So it's really difficult to now see these matches, and the talent is good. I just don't think they're as good, or they don't have the chemistry that the old, the old school matches have.
These feel more choreographed. Even though the other matches were choreographed, these feel more too choreographed than the previous, the Glory Days were.
Yeah, these don't have the same pace. They don't have the same feel. But it was still, they did a good job. There were a couple nice spots. The spot was Trent and Manic on the stage where he dropped Manic on his head and almost killed him. That was a good spot. The kick from Dutt.
Anyway.
They took a couple big bumps, and yeah, some of them were really awesome. But overall, the match was just eh.
Yeah. It was just there.
Yeah, it was just there.
King Kittens, no.
No, bad King Kittens, just bad. Fail, wrong, corner!
Moving on,
we have Bully and Anderson's backstage. Bully asks Anderson if he sees Hogan squirming. He loves the fact that for the first time in a long time, they have Hogan right where they want him. And they're in control. Bully then moves on and he tells Anderson, you know, he is proud to have him as VP. And, well, if he had voted, because, you know, he didn't, he would have totally voted for Anderson.
So totally would have.
Just, you know, jab that knife a little bit deeper into Steve's back. Sure he loves it. Anyway, Bully then tells Anderson that the Bound for Glory series and him winning the Bound for Glory series is what is most important right now, and that it's time for Anderson to go do what he does best.
Anderson winning the Bound for Glory series is what's most important.
So they can potentially get the title back.
Right. And, yeah. Rack exclusive. Anyway.
Yeah. Could Anderson be the new president of Aces and Eights? He seems to be climbing the ranks fast. # Rack exclusive.
Continue.
And, of course, after the break, we get Hernandez versus Anderson in a Bound for Glory series match. Anderson gets a nice, tidy victory over Hernandez by pinfall, picking up 7 points.
7 points! Yay! By the way, Hernandez needs to stop doing Air Mexico because everyone can see it coming.
Yeah, he kind of can. But it's, yeah, anyway, moving
and
on.
And that cost him nine. You know, when you run outside the ring to do a move, people know what's coming. And, well, Anderson saw it coming, and he was able to hit the mic check and got his win. 7 points. Mr. Anderson, moving up the ranks.
Still not enough to catch Magnus, who's, like, way, way out front.
Well, yeah.
He could lose the rest of the damn series, and probably nobody would catch him.
Probably.
But after this, we have backstage, we see Dixie and her assistant, I guess. The roving camera asks her about the legal situation. They want to know what's going on. And she declines to comment, saying that there's a lot going on, and when she knows, we'll know.
You'll know when I know, asks Dixie.
Yes. And then we get to kind of maybe the segment of the night.
Yeah, it was.
Elsewhere in the backstage area, we have Joseph Park, and he's looking for something. If you don't follow him on Twitter, he lost his iPad earlier today, and he's been looking for it all night.
Mm-hmm. He's been looking for it all night long.
And, well, wouldn't you know it, EY has it. He walks in with the iPad, and he shows Joseph some rather not PG pictures.
You know, of him, you know, the footage. He showed him the footage of, well, him losing the 10 points in the Bound for
Glory. No, not that. Before we get to that,
what was secretary's been putting on the thing.
Yes, to which Joseph excuses his secretary, saying that, well, she borrows it a lot. She must have put it on there.
That's right.
Totally blame it on your secretary. Totally do
it. # secretary's fault. No wonder it's Omega blamed you often.
Yep, it's all my fault. I'm such a bad secretary. After this, EY then shows Joseph the footage of what happened last week and what cost him the 10 points in the Bound for Glory series, especially when he bleeds. And the reaction we get out of Joseph Park is absolutely priceless. He's horrified. He can't believe it. That's not him. He doesn't remember doing it. It's completely just a blank slate.
He blacked out.
He totally blacked out. But EY isn't convinced, and, well, EY asks Park if he trusts him, to which, of course, Park says, yes, you know, you were good buddies with my friend, with my brother Abyss. Of course I trust you. And, well, EY goes for the light of the night. He's basically a scientist, and that they're going to figure this out.
All right. So, Eric Young, pro wrestler. Eric Young, hockey fan. Eric Young, fisherman. Eric Young, former Knockouts tag team champion. Eric Young, now scientist. Professor Young.
I would totally take his science class.
Now,
totally
so,
do it.
So, now, this is where we're gonna, I need you in the chat room. Okay. This is a quick little question, sort of like we're doing quick hits. What type of scientist is... What science would you like to see Eric Young teach you? Biology, chemistry, physics. What kind of science do you think actually Eric Young would be good at teaching?
I think he would be, you know, good at chemistry.
Chemistry?
Specifically. Chemistry, especially, you know, how hops and yeast and water form beer.
Kinkins goes, chemistry, I could see him blowing shit up all the time. That is, yeah. But I could also see him doing biology where he has to, you know, cut up in the frog. That's how he teaches you to cut up. He teaches you to cut up a frog and also teaches you how to cut open a fish.
I can totally see him doing it to a fish.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Eric Young, scientist.
Totally take a science class. Make this happen, Animal Planet. Make it happen. Get him on Mythbusters.
Kinkins, I see him using the frog dissection and making it dance as well.
Yes! Warner Brothers reference for the win!
There you go. Well played, Kinkins. Well played. You can now come out of the corner for that one.
Yes. You're free of the corner for the next 5 minutes until you say something else. Like we all know you will. Anyway, they're going to figure this out together, and EY says, well, he needs the iPad for further research, and he walks off with it, leaving a very baffled Joseph behind.
He spent all night looking for his iPad and still doesn't have his iPad.
Because EY's got it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know it seems like such a stupid segment to everybody else, but it's just like, oh my god, this is genius. Why? It's like, for anybody to point this out to Joseph Park, Eric Young is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He really is, because he's like, dude, this happens. How do you not know this happens? And then in his, you know, typical EY fashion, we're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it together, man.
We'll get through this together. Oh no, they're going to become detectives next.
That's amazing.
Watch them become detectives.
Yes! I'm like sitting here with a smile of complete glee on my face. I cannot wait for this to happen now. Please, TNA, please, for the love of God, make this happen. Just, you know, copy the Leslie Nielsen looking for the Undertaker stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect.
Genius. Make it so. Demand it.
We want it. Make it happen.
Yes. So, moving on from this, which... I wouldn't say it's a letdown, but I guess it was not as awesome as this, because I'm sitting here giggling like a schoolgirl the whole time. We have Velvet Sky come out to the ring, and, well, she wants to apologize, because she mistake. But it's not the mistake that we think it is. No, no, it wasn't the fact that she wrestled with an injury. It's the fact that she let Mickey James in, and she told Mickey about the injury. She says that Mickey took full advantage of her and used it to her best advantage, thus taking away the Knockouts title from Velvet Sky. But Velvet's learned her lesson. She says that she's going to play things much closer to her vest now. And then she invites Gail and Mickey to come out and rip it up and tear things up, because she's going to have a ringside seat for the whole thing.
So we get Knockouts championship action.
Solid promo.
Yeah, solid promo. Knockouts championship match. Mickey James, Gail Kim, one-on-one for the gold. Pretty good match.
Very good match. Actually almost became a three-way a couple times.
Yeah, it did.
Gail seems to like abusing referees, and, well, ODB's not the girl you knock around.
No, you do not knock around an ODB. No. Bad things come when you knock around ODB. Just point.
Yes,
that
including
out.
Including after the match, once Mickey picks up the victory, well, Brooke Hogan came out. She's a little pissed off.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, and we're gonna have the audio here in just a quick little second, because ODB and Gail Kim got into face to face, and that sort of brought out Brooke Hogan right now.
Listen here, Gail Kim. Yo, I'm talking to you. Yeah, you, little Miss Pink. I got an issue with you. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. Slapping around another ref? I thought you learned your lesson last time. Maybe you're gonna learn your lesson this time, because I'm here to remind you that Miss ODB over here is an active wrestler. And I think you just messed with the wrong train. So, you got that on your plate now.
Executive in charge of the Knockouts, Brooke Hogan, laying down the law, reminding Gail that ODB, not only the special referee for the Knockouts, but also an active member.
So, yeah, Gail Kim wanted no part of ODP after she took off her shirt and was like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. What you going to do about it?
Yeah, this was spectacular. This is actually, I think, the best promo Brooke Hogan's ever done.
Yeah, it was. I'm not gonna lie, it was.
So it's like, you bleep. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
ODB, sicker! Which should lead to some interesting things later on, for sure. I'm curious to see how this progresses next week, because, as you know, we are all fans of one ODB, at least around here.
Yep. Good. This was a good match, and I like the finish, and Mickey James keeps the belt.
Yes, but this was a great, this was absolutely fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on from here, we get backstage, and, well, Hogan and Dixie are talking. They're talking about the lawsuit. They don't know what to do. Hogan doesn't understand how this could possibly happen again. How did Bully Ray get them boxed in?
He's smarts
like that.
Mm-hmm.
They both agree that the situation isn't fair to Saban, but business is business. Hogan suggests that they do things the Aces and Eights way, but Dixie rejects that idea. She can't work like that. Both of them don't want to make the call, but somebody has to, and, well, somebody's got to tell Saban. And neither one wants to do it.
So still to come later tonight, Hulk Hogan makes his decision, brother.
So, and from here it gave the impression that, well, Saban might not be keeping his title.
Yep. But then, see, let's point this out. We The first hour was okay, and then we get Mickey James and Gail Kim. That was really good, and then we get into some more good action. Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Bound for Glory series.
Oh, good God, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mickey and Gail started the second hour off right, and then this match continued it off. Continued, you know, the interest in the show, for at least for me, got me really into the show, and this was a really good match. And then somebody decided to make a run-in.
Somebody did decide to make a run-in.
And that would be one Mr. Anderson. He came down and started distracting Samoa Joe, which allowed Christopher Daniels to hit the best moonsault ever. Not once, but twice. Because, well, he sort of missed the first one. So he hit it a second time and got the win over Samoa Joe. Christopher Daniels gets 7 points, and Samoa Joe was not happy.
No, Samoa Joe was not happy. He's trying to keep up with Magnus, and, well, sadly,
it's not working too well for him.
It's not working too well for him.
But, yeah, but Daniels missed the first time. And if Joe, you know, sold that pin, yeah, I would have, you know, I would have been sad for Joe because Daniels barely even touched his head.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Daniels hits the BMA, he gets the win, 7 points. Good match, and good thing to see Daniels actually pick up some points.
So yes, yay, go Daniels. He is fantastic like that.
Mm-hmm.
Backstage, we see AJ and Hardy headed to the ring. Their match is up next, but before we get there, well, Angle and Sting need to talk.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. They seem to... Sting wants to make sure that they are all on the same page. And Kurt's just a little bit concerned about the legal situation that's going on, but Sting is confident. He says there is no legal situation. Angle questions, well, what if Bully gets something? What do they do then? Sting says there is nothing for Bully to get.
Because if you think about it, they're supposed to be the Mafia, right? And whenever a legal situation comes up, the Mafia should know how to take care of a legal situation.
Oh, yes, they should. Usually by putting people in cement shoes, but, well, this is the family-friendly version, so yes, they have to find an alternative. Anyway, they both agree that, well, Bully is vulnerable when he's alone, and they have to keep getting him alone. Angle then thinks that, well, maybe they failed a little bit last week, but Sting disagrees. He says that they have a lot going for them, and they just have to cross the finish line at this stage. As they've achieved goal one, they just have to achieve goal two.
Nice out promo shows that Angle is the least concerned, Sting is not.
It seems like it's almost Sting is not seeing the full picture, and that could be something that costs them later down the road.
Quite possibly.
As opposed to Angle, who is seeing things a little bit more clearly, or maybe Angle is possibly overanalyzing things just a little bit. That costs them, too.
Sting and Kurt Angle could be the downfall of the Main Event Mafia.
They could. They're putting a little bit of weakness in the Mafia.
But up next, AJ Styles versus one Jeff Hardy in a Bound for Glory series match, and this was a really good match.
This was. It was a quick match.
No, actually, it was like a 13-minute match. I don't know what you're talking about quick for.
Well, it felt quick.
Well, any good match feels quick, because you want more.
Right.
This was a really good match between the two, and, well... Alright, I'll tell you about the finish, and then we'll get into what my little complaint about it is. AJ Styles is able to get Jeff Hardy into the calf killer submission for the victory, earning 10 points. The commentary for this one, Mike Tenay was like, all surprised. Oh my god, he pulled out some moves from his past! Seriously,
sorry.
He misses the old AJ Styles. Oh my god, that's a move AJ used to do. I want to see more of the phenomenal AJ Styles. Oh, Tenay.
Hasn't he been using the calf killer the whole time?
Not the calf killer. There was the Pele, and there was another move that he did, and, you know. There was some the drop kick, the high intensity, you know, those type of splashy moves from AJ Styles that we're not used to seeing lately, because this is a new AJ Styles and not the old AJ Styles. So when he hit the Pele, like, Mike Tenay freaked out. It's like, he hit the Pele. This is the phenomenal AJ Styles. I want to see more of the old AJ Styles. Oh, Tenay. You saddened me, sir. You just saddened me.
But yeah, I'll agree. That's just a little, yeah.
A little over top. They're probably trying to tell a story, and I get that, but yeah. It was just... It's like, maybe he was just using moves because it fit the match today. But anyway. Nice match. Nice finish. I was surprised to see Jeff Hardy tap out, but he did. Styles got 10 big points in the Bound for Glory series.
He did. He really, really, really did. But, well, maybe AJ's going to make it into the top four.
We shall see. Because if you know if he doesn't win, someone... you know, quits.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, if AJ Styles doesn't win, Alan Wojcik's quitting. So if AJ can't get in the final four, we know Alan has to quit.
Yeah.
It's his hashtag, you know. Anyway, continue.
Because we can't do James Storm or we riot, so, well, gotta do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say on that subject. Backstage, after the match, we have the roving camera. Hogan is on his way to the ring, and he asks if there's a decision. Hogan responds by saying, thank God he and Dixie are on the same page, because this has to be done. He doesn't want to do it, but he has to. This then brings Bully on his way to the ring. He says that he has been wronged, and he has suffered a major injustice. Not just injustice, major injustice. An injustice most foul. He's offended that everyone in the wrestling world can praise Saban for what he did. Bully says that Saban hit him in the head with a hammer.
How dare he, someone hit Bully Ray in the head with a hammer.
Bully then asks, what kind of person would seek to hit another person in the head with a deadly object like a hammer? To which the crowd then chants, you! Which is amazing!
You!
Bully says that Saban needs to do the right... Well, let's see. No, I'm sorry. He tells that Saban that he has no choice. That Bully's going to sue everyone and he will do what he has to right this wrong. Bully then tells Saban that he needs to do the right thing. And of course, he then... demands for Saban to come out and hand his title over to him. Saban does come out, and Bully says he's not going to be negative towards Saban. No, no, no. Saban is obviously here to do the right thing, because he's scared of Bully. Saban then responds by saying, well, the real reason that he's out here is because he wanted to see what a big fat crybaby Bully's become. Which was kind of awesome. You hear Chris Saban say it. It's really kind of awesome.
Let's see where this picks up, because there is a little bit of audio if you don't mind.
Okay.
Would that be
no, not at all.
Would that be easier on you?
That would be easier. Go ahead.
Let's see where this audio picks up at.
You had to have been hit in the head one too many times if you think I'm just going to walk down here and hand this belt over to you, because I'll be honest, the only way you're getting this belt from me is if you pry it from my dead hands.
No, the way I'm going to get that belt back is by suing you. Look at what you've done to me. How dare you hit me over the head with a hammer?
How dare you give me a boo-boo?
In the mirror. How can you call yourself a man? I know that Hogan has been meeting with his lawyers all day long. So if you're not going to do the right thing, I demand that Hulk Hogan come out here and give me back my title. It's the law, or I'm sorry.
Okay. this is where I'm muting in a second, so I can skip ahead, because Hogan takes a few seconds to actually get out. Still coming out, and here we go.
Saban's world title.
Well, you know something, Bully? I've been going back and forth all day long with my lawyers, looking at this contract inside out, upside down, from top to bottom, brother. And at the end of the day, I get it. And I do have a counter for you, my brother.
You see?
But this counter comes with no negotiation. You can't do that! You can't do that! Brother, I can do that because I'm your general manager, whether you like it or not. I'm the law around here, brother. And as far as the general manager and every Impact maniac in here, Chris Sabin is our champion, and he will remain the TNA heavyweight champion, brother.
Wow, what a relief. Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan standing by, world champion Chris Sabin. I thought it was going the other way, Mike.
But you know something, Bully? Fair is fair. And per your contract, you do have a rematch clause. And I understand you don't want any outside interference from the main event mafia, because I know what it's all about with your group of aces and eights. So the way it goes, you will get your rematch on August the 15th in North Fork, Virginia, my brother. And on that day, there will be justice, a very special type of justice. It's called hardcore justice, brother. Because aces and eights won't be involved. The main event mafia won't be involved. You will get your rematch against the world heavyweight champion, brother. And the law is going to make sure there's justice, because at Hardcore Justice, the TNA World title will be defended inside a steel cage, brother.
Oh, yeah! You want justice? We're going to have justice! We're going to have...
And that's enough, Mike, tonight. Hardcore Justice, as we told you last week, returns, and we get in a cage. Bully Ray, Chris Sabin for the World Heavyweight title. Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
That's going to be really cool, but I will admit, Sabin and Bully did not look happy.
No, especially Bully.
No, they did not. No, they were not pleased by this news, but well... And I'm a little surprised that they forgot Bully's rematch the whole night.
I don't think they forgot... Here's the thing, I don't think they forgot about it. I don't think Bully wanted to fight Sabin again. Because he believes he can't beat him.
That could be entirely possible.
That's the reason. It's not they forgot it. It's the Bully realizes, as is now twice, Chris Sabin has gotten the better of him. Once when he kicked out the finish, two, he's taken his title.
But to be fair, could one argue that, well, Chris Sabin got lucky? Because Chris Sabin won in less than honorable ways, in the fact that he smacked Bully in the head with a hammer while the ref wasn't looking, which is a sort of heel thing to do.
But that's Bully getting his own medicine, because if you think about it, that's how Bully won the title originally.
Oh, I know, but it's that interesting situation of, until Chris Sabin beats him cleanly...
There's a lot of speculation going on, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation going on of, well, can Chris Sabin actually beat Bully?
And we will now know on August 15th if he can actually do it, because there will be supposedly no outside interference, because, you know, in a cage match, no one can interfere. Nobody.
Well, we know that to not be true, but...
Especially, you know, locked down. Anyway,
Yeah, totally locked down. That's a horrible cover-up. You can still see the tattoo. Anyway, sorry. I'm watching Tattoo Nightmares, and as we're doing this, and yeah, they do tattoo cover-ups, and well, it's a nice tattoo, but you can still see the old one underneath, because the old one's kind of color, and he did black and gray, which, yeah, that doesn't always work.
But yeah, pretty good. Solid show tonight. Not as great as last week. The first hour was a little eh, but the second hour was amazing. Great wrestling to close out the show.
What was nice was I think they understood that the X match was not going to be as strong as the other matches on the card, and so that's why that one went first.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably be my only opinion of it, is the fact that that's probably why that went first, because then they built the matches up, because as the night progressed, the matches got better.
Yeah, they did. You got a bit bigger talent, higher profile talent as the night went on.
So yeah, so they did a nice job of building the show. It didn't have as many big moments, but it did have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very solid show, very well done.
I would agree.
So, bravo to TNA. Good job. Entertaining evening. And on that note, I think we're going to kick it to break. And when we come back, we are going to have our favorite segment, Tweet of the Week. Well, some discussions and, well, our question of the night. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, so
suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Radio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com. And our friends at TNA Asylum and PWMania.com as well. Check them out for all your news on WWE TNA, because TNA Asylum is, of course, the haven for TNA fans.
Doesn't that song bring you back?
Not really.
Really?
Really?
Really? You don't remember that? You don't like that song?
I just kind of started tuning out. It's so mellow. It's just, it's something that's like...
Go ahead.
Something that you'd almost have in the background or something.
But do you remember the music video?
No.
That was the little girl in the bee outfit.
Ah! Okay.
Now you remember. Now you know what it is, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that song.
Gotcha. Sorry. It's... Disconnect. I don't think I've ever seen the actual music video, but I've seen the reference of the little girl in the Bee outfit, so I know what you're talking about.
Yes, Bee Girl.
So, anyway, let's go to our other sort of mellow, chill song, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. So I have four from Biggie Langston and one from Joey Styles.
Oh my god!
Biggie Langston! Check out my upcoming bio, Big Trouble in Little Tampa, My Affair with a Dachshund, and Other Lies I Enjoy Telling.
Okay.
Yo, at Caitlin WWE. I mean, we... in quotations, bury the hatchet. I'd like to plan a get-together to discuss our friction.
Okay.
If any of my tweets are offensive, I was obviously hacked, and I'm aggressively tracking down the perp as we speak. And lastly, from Big E, shame I was denied my journalistic right to live tweet the birth of this royal baby. Oh, Big E, you're so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Styles. To quote Jerry the King Lawler from Raw, just because the baby's royal, I'm not the father. To which Joey Styles replies, Kate's too old for you, King. Hashtag Raw.
Okay. John Layfield. first time under 70 minutes on my 6 mile run / walk in a while, trying to get under an hour. Yes, I am slow, but at least I'm also old. AJ Lee, I will love you until your last breath. I'll let you know when that is. Someone tweeted, breaking, Royal Baby punted by Snitsky. Witness say it was not his fault.
Well played.
A reporter here named Dennis Deitch goes, which Spice Girl did Prince William marry again? James Caldwell of the PW Torch goes, WWE tweets, Royal Baby congrats by setting low expectations, achieving mid-card championship status. That is seriously true. The WWE Universe did tweet out that congratulations on a future Intercontinental Champion.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Scott Fishman, breaking. # Royal Baby signed to WWE's developmental program. His NXT team name will be Harry Johnson. Yeah. It went there.
Well done, Fishman. Well done.
Joel McHale tweets, a lady had a baby. Very poetic. A lady did have a baby. Someone, and this is where we get into one Ask Dixie tweet. Someone goes, why aren't the TNA knockouts called the Dixie Chicks? Ask Dixie.
Fair question. We'll get into Ask Dixie here in a minute. From Jersey Girl.
I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, continue.
No,
you can
read
done.
Her. No, I have a couple more.
Well, go ahead, finish.
From Joseph Park. Bully has an attorney? This guy couldn't hold my jockstrap in a courtroom.
Ah.
I've got some legal advice for Project Saban, but I can't do it right now. I'm still trying to find my iPad. Where did I put it? And let's go. Eric Young goes, I like impulsive. Joseph Park replies, I like impulsive too, buddy. Hey, please, KFAB, the iPad history and bookmarks. My secretary must have been playing on it.
Sure, your secretary.
Yeah.
Sure, secretary. Joseph, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Secretary.
So apparently Joseph Park is into some kinky things. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Anyway, are you done?
Now I'm done.
All right. From Jersey Girl. ODB. My opinion on sunglasses indoors. Either your ass don't look good in the morning, or you think you're a big deal, or you're a dick. #BAM. Jeff Dunham. It's official. They're going to make Sharknado 2. Script should be done in about 10 minutes.
Is that it?
That's it.
That, my friends, was tweet of the week. So there you go.
So where do we want to go? Do we want to talk about You Can't Marry Me, or do we want to talk about Ask Dixie?
That's it. Let's start with Ask Dixie.
All right. This is going to take me a minute to gather my thoughts.
She clears her throat. So, let me give the backstory to Ask Dixie first, so you can...
Okay,
get a moment,
go ahead.
So, as we all know, there's been issues with TNA lately, and all the budget cuts and what have you. So, Dixie Carter, in her infinite wisdom, goes, I will answer your questions. So, please use the # Ask Dixie. Well... when you tell the internet to do something, the internet will do something. Because apparently, the internet decided, oh, let's go crazy and basically spam the hell out of the # Ask Dixie. Asking very horrible things and very, you know, odd things. So, Miss Dixie Carter decided to, well, come out with a statement that apparently is not on their main page of their own website at the moment. It's tremendous. you would think it would be still on their main page, but apparently it's not. So basically what she put out, there we go, it's on page number 2. There we go. The statement reads, "Hi everyone. In the 11 plus years that I've been with TNA, I'm still amazed by the passion of pro wrestling fans. That passion, both positive and negative, is remarkable and something that all of us at TNA values. With that said, I ask for questions from you, like I've done many times in the past, but I didn't provide a timeline by which I would answer you. I know I have frustrated you all, and I apologize. Beginning next week, each Thursday, I will answer legitimate questions from you. That's all of you. On a weekly basis. I will not, however, address outrageous or hurtful questions as post. I also want to take this opportunity to provide a perspective from inside TNA where we stand and where, with the support of our current and future fans around the globe, where we are going. What is being shared with you now is what we shared with the Impact roster before our phenomenal Destination X show from Louisville, Kentucky last week. This has been a big year for TNA. We took Impact Live on the road, exactly where it needs to be, where you asked us to be, in your backyard. We have changed our pay-per-view schedule, shifting from 12 to 4 pay-per-views a year. In order to increase the value of these events for you to grow, these are moves that needed to be made. And part of changes like this include structural changes within TNA to align with this new business model. Many of your comments and questions reference our recent roster changes. The relationship that fans have with wrestlers is unique and one of many great aspects of the wrestling business. And for this reason, releasing talent is never easy. Not for you and not for us. But bringing you new, fresh faces and the best wrestling talent in the world is what you expect and what TNA will always strive to deliver. Recently, we brought back some talent favorites, Sanjay Dutt, Petey Williams, and Homicide. And you will continue to see this and new talent that we're excited to introduce to you in the coming months. TNA has always been and will continue to be a place where you can interact with the superstars, whether it's in person, a live show, or via social channels like Twitter or Facebook. We are constantly exploring new and interesting ways to take this interaction to a new level. And you will see this unfold in the coming months. I appreciate you, each of you, taking the time to share your thoughts, opinions, and ideas. Your input and feedback helps us create a better product. I hope you will join us when Impact Live comes to your area. Yours, Dixie." Finished.
Okay. So this is going to be a rant / discussion.
Oh, boy.
So, first of all, the fact that she even had to put out a statement like this really kind of shows how bad the situation was. You can still find it on Twitter. The internet absolutely exploded over this hashtag.
It was trending worldwide yesterday afternoon for at least a half hour. Number one trend
worldwide, which you would think, hey, that's great, except if you read some of the tweets, they were just, yeah, it's called, there is a line, there is the floor, and now there's the IWC. If you don't like TNA, fine, that's your business. If you don't like Dixie Carter, fine, that's your business. I don't really care, either way. I don't have a personal qualm with her. She's never done anything to affect me. I don't think she's done anything to affect a lot of people out there. But, you know, if you want to throw personal insults her way, that's certainly your concern. Just do them in a manner in which they are not completely, totally degrading and really horribly insulting. I mean, some people were just vicious. Downright, outright, completely, absolutely vicious. And it was really uncalled for. And I'm really kind of shocked and appalled by the whole thing and how the internet acted. Because it's this coupled with the fact of the quote-unquote TNA haters. And I like TNA. If you want to call me a TNA apologist, fine. I'm a TNA apologist. I really don't give a fuck what you call me. makes no difference to me. My personal opinion is, if you're going to make fun of the product, if you're going to like the product, or you're going to bash the product, you should at least watch the product. And by the way, watching it on fast forward does not count.
Gimmick infringement, gimmick infringement, gimmick infringement.
By the way, if you want to read the full post on where that comes from, go to rackradioshow.com and visit our blog.
Thank you. At least she credits the gimmick she was stealing.
Yes, at least we totally wrote it together.
Exactly, one brain.
One brain.
And apparently one computer. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, so that being said, the people that are out there that are bashing it, that are doing this to her, that are basically doing all these things, whether you're making fun of the product, you're bashing the product, you're bashing Dixie, you're participating in the hashtag, you don't watch the product, you're not familiar with it, and you're just doing it to really be a jackass, shame on you. Really, seriously, shame on you. Because I had a conversation with Jed about this, and I've had a couple conversations with him about this, where it's, we sit here as a community, and when I say community, I mean the IWC, and we wonder why WWE and TNA and every other wrestling company out there don't take us seriously. We wonder why they don't listen to us. And then they do things like this, where they put out hashtags of, hey, we're going to listen to you. We're going to give you our ear, and you can say anything you want to us, and you can ask any question, and you can make any suggestion, and do whatever you want. And people take full, complete advantage of that, and they inevitably and invariably make asses of themselves. Mm-hmm. In front of the bookers, in front of the owner of TNA, to Vince McMahon, to Triple H, to Stephanie McMahon, to pretty much everybody. And they basically perpetuate this idea that the IWC is a bunch of Nimrods. And I just, I'm frankly outraged by it. Because it's people like that that ruined it for the rest of us.
It's why we can't have nice things.
It's seriously why we can't have nice things. It's, like I said, if you don't like the product, if you don't like her for whatever reason, or you don't like any product, fine. Whatever. Voice your dislike of the product. But don't be a jerk about it. Seriously. There were some horrible insults thrown this woman's way. And I feel sorry for whoever had to go through them. I really do, because finding legit questions in that batch of crap had to be impossible.
I found a couple last night as we were doing, show prep.
You did find a couple, but there weren't many.
No, and it's still going.
And it's still going. I mean, and apparently this was all pre-planned, to where certain Twitters that were trying to be humorous and really weren't were basically spamming the hell out of the Twitter feed.
And then all their followers decided, oh, we'll pick up on this and continue it on.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm really kind of horrified. And the other side of this is the people out there who are gleefully, almost to the point of skipping, waiting for the day that TNA shuts down. Again, you don't like the product, that's fine. That's your business. I don't care whether you like it or hate it. As long as you hate it, you gave it a chance, you watched it, I can't argue with you on that. You have your reasons, I have mine for liking it. I'm curious to know what people out there think will happen when TNA shuts down. I'm curious to know if they think it will do the business any good if TNA closes. Because if they think it will, they're wrong. If they think that's suddenly going to make our ROH number two, yes. Will it catapult ROH into the stratosphere where they can suddenly compete with WWE? No. It won't. ROH barely has a TV deal.
Well, they have a TV deal, but it's not. It's localized national television.
It's only on in certain areas. It's not on a channel like Spike.
No, it's localized national television.
Which isn't the same thing, whereas WWE's broadcast on USA. and Sci-Fi,
right,
which are national channels. They're broadcast nationally and internationally. If anything, TNA shutting down would hurt the business because, well, that would just tighten WWE's stranglehold on the business, wouldn't it?
It sort of would. It really, really would.
And it's like, why, I don't understand why so many people would be happy to see all the employees, all the wrestlers, everybody in TNA lose their job. You've ever gotten fired, if you have ever been laid off, if you've ever lost your job, you know how much that sucks. Especially in a company that you've probably put your whole life into, like some of these people have, to see it potentially, and I'm not saying TNA is closing. This is all hypothetical. But to see a company that you've watched, that you put your life into, that you've done everything for, go down the drain and close, has to be something absolutely horrific. And so to wish that on people working for that company is completely unfair. And really, really completely heartless. So yeah, I am ashamed to be a part of the IWC. Like yesterday, I completely, completely lost all faith in humanity.
Yeah, yesterday was not a good day if you were on Twitter and saw what they were saying. Kind of looks, makes people like us, what we do, look poorly. We try to give you a straight perspective of the product, good and bad, but we don't sit on the internet and bash things. We don't, there's a difference between what we say this, we said this from day one. It's okay to be critical, but when you go to the length people did yesterday, it's embarrassing. It's pathetic. And it's not just yesterday. And it's, this is where I'm getting off of Twitter and going to actually speak my own opinion.
Ooh.
Getting away from the just being on Twitter and actually talking. Hi, people. It's embarrassing to look at people and just, you know, they start rambling on and on. TNA sucks. TNA sucks. I wish they would close. TNA sucks. Dixie's an idiot. Blah, 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 blah. How do you know? That's the question. How do you know? How do you, ex-wrestling fan, or, you know, use any letter in the alphabet that you want, A, B, C, or J, doesn't matter. Whatever you choose. How do you know she sucks at her job? Have you ever talked to her? Have you ever seen her in action? Have you ever seen her in a business meeting? Have you ever seen her do this or that? Have you seen her negotiate contracts? They're in markets all over the world. Is that bad? Is she bad at what she does? No. No. She's turned this company around. Have they made bad decisions? Yeah. Have they done the bad creative? Yeah. But that happens everywhere. WWE's done it. And people are critical of them, but not to this extent. It's like, there's WWE and then there's TNA all the way down below. It's like, TNA is a wrestling company. If you don't like the product, don't talk about the product. That's what I've been saying from day one. Don't talk about it. But once you start opening up your mouth, you look like, just look stupid. You look like you're just out there for people to latch on to you and just follow your opinion. And it's like, when one person says something, 10 other people will say it. It's like, if you're not watching it, then those other 9 people are going to watch it. And if they do, they're going to go like, well, why do I need to watch this? This person's already telling me my opinions. Why should I follow? Why should I have my own opinion? If you're going to watch product, watch product. Then be critical. Critical is not bashing. Simple as that. I'm tired of seeing people just bash TNA and bash wrestling in general just because it's the cool thing to do. I'm done. Apparently she's not talking to me anymore.
Sorry, I'm on mute.
I offended her.
You did not offend me, good lord. it's, and this is kind of where I guess we're going to end the ranting, and and I've said it from day one too. I say it pretty much every time we have this conversation, about every 6 months or so, where it's, I think it's unjust, and I think you make yourself look more stupid by talking about something you don't know about. And I don't understand why people watch things just to bash them, just to hate on them. Is your life really that empty and that you're really that desperate for something to do that you're going to waste your time and spend your time watching something that you know you're going to already hate just so you can bash it? Just so you can, you know, make fun of it? What's the point in that? Don't you, I mean, seriously, do some people just not have anything better to do with their time?
Some people get off on doing that. Seriously, they do.
Oh, I know some people get off on it. And, you know, if they get off on it, I can't judge them for it. I don't understand it. But at the same time, I'm... guess I'm just a different person from them. But still, it's... for those that don't get off on it, that are basically sheep, and they're just following the herd because, oh, hey, it's the cool thing to bash TNA. It's always been the cool thing to bash TNA. Why? Why are you doing that? It's like you could be doing so many other things with your time other than just sitting there and bashing something. Because you can. It seems stupid and pointless to me.
Right.
And I just, yeah, this is more of a rant than really a discussion, but...
it's been something on our minds for the last few days, and we haven't had a show to talk about it on since then. So we figured we'd get it off our chest now.
Well, it's more something of it's been building, and Rock's right. We weren't able to really talk about it Monday, and this all kind of happened after Monday. And it's something of... I'm just irritated with the IWC because it's like and when I say we, I speak, you know, I mean the entire IWC, because I've done it, Rock's done it, we've all done it, where we shoot ourselves in the foot time and time again, and I don't understand why we keep doing that when it's like, oh, well, we're such smart, intelligent wrestling fans, but then when they're actually going to listen to us, well, we're going to make an idiot out of ourselves. Why? Because we can.
Because it's cool and it's fun.
Yeah, well, it's not cool and it's not fun to some people. Just pointing that out. So, anyway...
so, yeah, and like Lindsay said, go to RockRadioShow.com. There's a little blog I wrote on Sunday talking about different things. And, yeah, read it, respond to it. Like it or hate it. If you'd like this or hate it, just, you know, let us know. Give us your feedback as well. But we're going to move on from ranting because, well, we got some slipstick fun to get into.
Oh, yes we do. This story broke over the weekend, and, well, it's kind of interesting because, as everybody knows, Total Divas does premiere this Sunday, 9 p.m., I believe.
10 p.m. Eastern.
10 p.m. Eastern, sorry. 10 p.m. Eastern, E-Network, Total Divas, starring the Bellas, and Natty, and the Funkadactyls, and two other people who have no idea who they're
talking about. JoJo and Eva Marie.
Thank you. Sorry, I don't know their names. I'm sorry, I don't.
That's cool, that's why I'm here. I've got your back. I've got you covered. So, continue.
So... part of the show, they've been releasing clips, they've been doing teasers, they did a segment on Raw, which will be remembered forever because of a certain piece of someone's anatomy. And so, one of the clips that's been released, or at least, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be a teaser clip.
It was a teaser clip, it was put out.
Okay, it was a teaser clip, it was put out, it was put out by TMZ. And part of this show is we get to see the lives of the WWE divas that have been selected, and we get to see the relationships that they have. And this includes Natty's relationship with Tyson Kidd, one of the Funkadactyls with the Uso, Eva Marie and JoJo with their boyfriends, Nikki with Daniel Bryan.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brie with Daniel Bryan, and Nikki with one John Cena.
And so, shall we go to the clip?
Well, before we go to the clip, let me set up the clip.
Okay.
So the clip that got released is basically Brie and...
Nikki and John.
Nikki, sorry. Nikki and John, I can't tell them apart, in a restaurant together, and, well, she asks him a rather tough question.
And the question is as follows. TMZ with load right about...
Tonight, John and I are going to dinner, and I just need to know if there's a possibility that marriage is in our future.
It's difficult to talk to you with staring at your lips or your boobs or your butt.
Can we just be serious for 5 minutes?
Okay, seriously, what's up?
I don't know. I just feel that if someone wants to be with someone forever, like, why not marry the person?
You do know that I tried that once.
That's where I feel like I have this battle, because here I'm so happy with this man, and what I leave him, like, what if I never find someone I'm happy with or have this much fun with?
Both marriage and family are very difficult obstacles for me. You have no idea how much you've changed me as a person. I feel so sh- because there are certain things I can't give, but you make me enjoy life. And that's what I like most about being that. Because a random dinner on a Thursday night, or fishing in the morning when it's pouring rain, I would never do that with anyone else. I would never open my home or my life to anybody else. You make me want to do all these things.
I think just because Brie and Brian are doing all this ring shopping and talking about their future, I guess it just gets in your head.
It's okay. It's all right.
In the end, I do see and feel the love that John has for me, and so I need to be patient because I have the man of my dreams.
So one day at a time.
One day at a time.
And this is where I've titled this segment, You Can't Marry Me.
Do you want to go first on this one?
No, you can go first.
Okay, first of all, the thing is horribly staged. You can tell that. It's a reality show. It's completely staged. I feel really kind of bad for her. Honestly, because there's this moment where you know she had to watch this back to comment on this. And say what you want about reality shows, the situation was staged. It was obviously planned for her to ask the question, but he's not that good of an actor.
Situations are real. Reactions are not. Situations are staged. Reactions are real.
For this to be staged. And I feel really kind of bad for her having, like I said, having to watch this back again. Because it's one thing to be in that moment. And then there's another to watch it after the fact. And to see his reaction to it, because when she asks that question, he gets really stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really stiff. And you can just tell by his reaction that that was not the question he wanted to get. Of course, no guy likes getting that question.
No.
But, he sort of made it abundantly clear, at least from what we've seen, and I'd have to watch the full episode, that, which thankfully this is in the first episode.
Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on E!
Yes, that, well, she's just the rebound girl.
Or so his actions are making us being led to believe.
Yes, or so we're being led to believe. This could very well lead to, at the end of the season, he proposes marriage to her, and then she and Brian proposes marriage to the other one, and then they can have a double wedding. That's entirely possible.
Yes.
I'm not saying, you know, that could or couldn't happen. But it's just based on his reaction, it's, I don't know if that's 100% possible.
Right.
And I think it's interesting because you hear his answer where he says marriage and children would be difficult.
Because he was married prior, and we all saw how that turned out. It did not go the way he had hoped.
Well, I don't know if it went the way that he hoped, or I don't know if it was something that he couldn't pull himself away from the business, and she just couldn't understand that.
There is that, too. Because he is, without a shadow of a doubt, the most dedicated man in pro wrestling.
He is. He seriously is. I seriously don't know when he goes home. I swear to God, he just lives on that bus, and there's a laundry machine in there, or he pays somebody to do his laundry. Probably pays somebody.
Probably.
But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I think what maybe he expected and what he got were probably two different things. And I think what his wife expected and what she got were two different things because, like it or hate it, marriage is a full-time job and it takes both people to make a marriage work. And if that one person isn't there all the time, it's incredibly difficult. And it takes a huge amount of sacrifice, I think, on both people's parts. And it could be that maybe he wasn't willing to make that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe she wanted to, and that probably led to some strain. I mean, this is all hypothetical. And, you know, as far as this current one is concerned, I don't think maybe she understands that he's possibly not willing to make the sacrifice for her either.
Right.
It's a little bit different because she can travel on the road with him, but, well, if kids come along, that's going to be something completely different. Because somebody's going to have to take care of the kids, and you know it's not going to be him.
Right, and as we've seen in other relationships, that, you know, when kids happen, they go off their own, or when even the idea of kids happen.
Right, it's basically assumed that the woman will go off the road and the guy will stay on the road. And that's unless the situation where she's the bigger star happens, and then, well, the situation can maybe be reversed. But I kind of wonder if, at least from the clip that we've seen, and again, this is just like a, you know, what, 1 minute clip?
Yeah, 90 second clip.
That makes. Yeah, 90-second clips like that. We're completely overanalyzing it. Of course, you should have heard us when it came out.
You should have heard us Friday. That was and we're going to get into some of that, but we dissected that clip for at least an hour, if not longer.
At least an hour. I'm trying to remember some of it, but it's like, it feels like to me that he made it clear that she is the rebound girl, and it's almost kind of abundantly clear in that clip that it feels like he doesn't want to. Or he can't, I guess, at this stage, separate himself enough from the business to be able to do the marriage and kids and that kind of thing.
Right. So this is where we took how we took part of the conversation, and we went as follows. I read some comments. People go, he just got out of a divorce. Dang, give the man time. He slithered his way out of that one. If I was John Cena, I'd be banging everything on the road until his nuts can't see him. Ah, see what that person did there? Smooth answer and recovery. No clue why women always try to rush into marriage. He just got divorced, gold digger. Like, if you thought Ask Dixie was vicious, some people were vicious on here. But point being is you see people's reaction to it, and he's laying out the... He's been put in a situation where she wants to know the end game. And as everyone knows, in all relationships, there has to be an end game if you're truly meant to be with that person. And her mind is John Cena that guy? Is she the one?
The one.
Basically. Go ahead.
That's really kind of hard to answer just because you're basically asking that just based on a 90-second clip, and it's like, you know, he obviously has feelings for her.
no doubt about it. He cares for her, and he wants to be with her, and he said so as much, and if he didn't want anyone to know about him and her, we wouldn't know about him and her, and they would not be on this reality show.
Pretty much, yeah. That would have been completely sort of kayfabed.
So he's at least comfortable enough to put this out there, especially this clip, because he's been talking about it and how the anti-Cena Nation will have plenty of fuel to throw at him on Monday morning.
Yep.
And we're going to watch the show, we're going to review it and critique it and all that fun stuff next week here on the show. So, teaser, we will be talking about the show, Total Divas, next week on the rack. Because that's just what we do.
That's just what we do. But, yeah, it's kind of, it's one of those things where it's, you know, obviously he cares for her, but I don't think he cares for her enough, at least at this stage, to pull himself away from the business. Because, you know, for all intents and purposes, like, right now, it's kind of, I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this. Dating is different than marriage, especially when you're dating someone like that, who is a huge megastar. You know, it's one thing to be their girlfriend, it's something different to be their wife, and expectations, I think, kind of change once you marry somebody like that.
Because there's two simple words. Settle down.
Right. And I think in his case, it's, I don't want to say this, but, you know, I think in his case, it's almost, marriage to him would be, well, we're going to settle down, which basically means we're going to buy a nice house, you're going to live in it, you're going to take care of it, you're going to handle, and I'm going to be gone 300 plus days a year.
Right. And how this clip we've dissected longer than it was is, she's not saying she wants to get married now, but she wants to know the end game. Is it worth sticking it out and see if she can get the marriage out of him at the very end? Which, if you think about it, is the toughest part.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I, you know, you have to think that she's feeling the pressure, and I'm sure that's probably what ended up spiking this whole, you know, situation, is the fact that she brings up the fact that her sister and Brian are shopping for rings. Brian is getting ready to pop the question, if he hasn't done it already.
Right, because from what we can gather, this is around WrestleMania time-ish.
Right, so it very well could be that Brian has proposed to her, or he proposes to her at the end of the season, or it may not have been filmed yet, or they've kept it quiet, and it's going to get released at another point. And then, of course, the whole season is building up to Natalya's wedding to Tyson Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, there are potentially two weddings coming, at least for the show, one for sure. So it's, she's got to feel that pressure of, well, Natty's getting married, my sister's probably going to end up getting married, and I'm with John, and it's like, well, where is this going to go? Because they've probably been together for over a year now, which is about the right phase for to ask this kind of question of.
Right, it's not, let's get married now, it's, especially at their age, it's like, not get married now, but do we see us getting married? Because as the older you get, you start to wonder that sort of thing.
Right, and, you know, I can appreciate her wanting to be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just going to wait it out, and, you know, I've got the man of my dreams, and he's worth waiting for. Well, yeah, he's worth waiting for, provided you don't throw away your life waiting on him. And that's the whole thing, and that's why I kind of feel bad for her. And it's like, and we may get more as the season progresses. It's just because they said, you know, let's take it one day at a time. But it's, at the same time, it's, yeah, you've got the man of your dreams, you know, but if he doesn't want to get married, he doesn't want to get married, and you're not going to force him to.
Right.
And as far as kids go, I don't see Cena having kids until he's well into his 40s.
Yeah, we were talking about that. You don't see him get. You see him as a late father in life, rather than where he is now. Because by that time, he will become sort of like other people that are dead.
Ish.
thank you, where they have children later in life and settle down at that point.
Right, I think he's, like, and this again goes back to the whole he cannot separate himself from the road.
5 years from now, he may be a featured attraction rather than 24/7.
Right, and you can tell that he is not as featured as he was. Yes, he's the WWE champion, but he's not. The shows do not revolve around him nearly as much as they have in the past. And you're starting to see Cena begin to take time off, and you're starting to see him sort of have a lesser role in the company.
He's starting to have a life.
Yes, he's starting to have kind of a life, although he's still doing the press, he's still doing Make-A-Wish. And I think all of those things are going to still play a factor. He will always be the company man. He will always be the guy that they send out to do interviews, that they send out to do the Make-A-Wish, until that next person comes along. Because, like it or not, he is that guy. That's his role.
He is the face of World Wrestling Entertainment. And if you think about it, if you look at, like, when did Triple H settle down with Steph? When did they get married?
2003.
They got married, okay. And he started to slowly back away from... It was 2003. He started back away full-time. He was taking more days off. He was, you know... When they started having kids, he started backing out a little bit more and more as the years went on. It would be interesting when John has his first child, whether he's married or not, to see how much he backs away from the business.
Right. And, I mean, he said in the past he wants children. It's just, I think it's, again, that whole time and separation issue of can he pull himself away to do that? Because as we've seen with other people who are dead-ish that have children while they're still active, you know, Taker got married in 2001. He started to kind of have a lesser role a little bit. He had kids with his second wife. And what was interesting was when she had kids, he would take time off for when the baby was born, but then he would come right back to work.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be on the road as much, if not more, than what he was after the fact.
Right.
So there's that possibility, too, and it's only after you being on the road for 20 years and getting all these injuries that he's kind of been forced to back away and take time, and also because he's happy in his life, I'm not going to discount that at all, that he's now taken time away from the road. He's settled down with Michelle, and they have a child together. And he's leading a more normal life.
Right.
But if you think about it, he's 48 years old.
Mm-hmm. So there will come a point when John Cena decides it's time, and apparently it is not time.
No, it's not time. Not in the least.
I think he was trying with the last one and realized it's not time yet.
I think more what it was is there was a rumor that he was engaged to Mickie James, or he was engaged to somebody. And the engagement did not work out, but he had it in his mind to get married. And so he married his best friend. He married his high school sweetheart, or college sweetheart, maybe both, because she was safe. Because there were rumors of infidelity on certain people's parts, that Cena was dating her side, not his. And so he kind of maybe got his heart broken a little bit. Again, this is all speculation, this is all rumor. And so he married somebody that was safe, somebody that he knew wouldn't do that to him. And so he married his sweetheart.
Right.
And for whatever reasons, it didn't work out. Maybe it's she expected more, maybe he expected more, who knows.
Timing is everything. Timing is everything in life, and this is a nice little teaser that was timed very nicely, because now it's like, you want to see where it goes next.
Yeah, you kind of want to see how this relationship develops, because he makes kind of an interesting comment where he says, you make me want to basically take time off. you make me want to go to dinner on a Thursday night just because. You make me want to go fishing in the rain.
You can see he is in love with her.
He is in love with her. Whether he loves her enough to marry her, that's up for debate. I can't say that. But it's kind of also kind of a sad portrait of his life, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about him and it's like, he doesn't have a normal life. He doesn't know what it is almost to be a normal person anymore.
He hasn't had a general week off, a month off of normalcy. When you're injured, that's not normalcy.
No, and it's really kind of sad. You really do kind of feel bad for both of them. Just seeing that, because it's like he doesn't... It's like for them just to go out to dinner on a Thursday. Just go out to dinner together. That's unusual for them.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't have the time. They're between the two of them, they're on the road a lot. Between wrestling and every other engagement they have. Because she's out in Hollywood and the Bellas have done a lot of different things. Before even coming back to WWE, they were involved in, you know, going to parties and companies and doing, you know, commercials and what have you.
Yeah.
Say what you want about the Bella Twins. They know how to work the business really well. Especially on
they
the
do.
Entertainment side.
They really do. So, it will be an interesting watch for sure, but it's like Rock and I both saw that clip and it's like, crap.
Yeah, I saw the clip and I was like, here, Lindsay, just watch it. And, yeah, the conversation never stopped from there. So,
on that note, I think unless we have something else to rant about.
No, let's get into our question of the night.
All right, what's our question of the night?
If you can give a wrestler a Daniel Bryan style beard, who would you give a Daniel Bryan style beard to? Suggestions like Austin Aries. Rick Rude. Yeah, but he doesn't have that the length.
This is true.
Rick Rude, he also had a beard, but Stevie Richards, Randy Orton, Zack Ryder. Because I'll read as King Kendrick. Zack Ryder, then maybe he could get over. Or Taker to make up for the lack of hair on the head.
Oh god, Taker would look awful.
We've already seen Taker with a beard, it's gray.
Yeah, it wouldn't look good. He would look like Santa Claus.
He really would.
A very large tattooed Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. No hair.
Yeah, pretty much. Because that's what I thought when I saw the gray beard. Oh, it's Santa. His kids will love it. Anyway, I'm going to throw out a name for you, and I'll let you react to it. Because I've been thinking about this for a while.
Okay.
And imagine Paul Heyman with a Daniel Bryan-style beard. How frightening is that?
Is he talking Yiddish while he has it?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Does he have the curly cues and the hat, too?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's honestly what I see.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, it's so racist, but it's true.
But yeah, think about Paul Heyman with that big, bushy beard.
That would be like Paul Heyman after CM Punk has locked him in his basement for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And not let him see the light of day.
The other one I was going to say is Shawn Michaels, then I realized, oh yeah, Shawn's been growing the beard already. So I threw him out of the, thing. Think about another one. Rey Mysterio. Just see the beard coming out of the mask.
Well, I'll give you another one of a beard coming out of a mask. What about Kane?
Yeah, because he every time we've seen him, sans Diesel, he's really only... Well, Yanko had a beard, but he's always you usually know him as clean-shaven. So, yeah, that would be interesting.
Well, when he was Kane, the first incarnation with the mask, he had a goatee, and he had facial hair. And in this go-round, he has stayed clean-shaven.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. But, and we'll get into more of Kane in a beard and a mask in a second.
Yeah, we have that little side topic we want to bring up. So is what anyone else you can possibly think of that would look good with or strange with a Daniel Bryan style beard?
John Cena.
Yeah, there you go. Think about that. John Cena with big bushy beard. It's scary. That's really, really scary.
Yeah, it really kind of is. It's like, no.
No.
Just, no.
No. ODB, so she can get along with EY. They get along plenty well.
Yeah, they're best buds. I don't think that's a problem. Here we go. Wait. Here we go. Michael Cole.
Better yet, JBL.
Vince McMahon.
Okay, I want to see Vince with the beard now. I want to see Vince with the Daniel beard, yeah. Make it happen. Make it happen. Any others? Jerry
no.
Gross says Brad Maddox.
Is he old enough to grow one?
Good question. I think that's all the one we can think of off the top of our head. But that was our little simple question, and I just have some little fun. But it led to Lindsay thinking of...
So, late one night, while my family was staying, and I was just sort of winding down for the evening after they had gone to sleep, I started thinking, and my mind wanders as I'm laying there trying to go to bed. And I began to think about the Wyatt family. And really the guy with the sheep mask. And how, well, the sheep mask doesn't quite fit. Until you hear Bray Wyatt speak, and he begins to talk about how people are just sheep, and they're just puppets. And it led to this interesting thought of the sheep mask. As we saw in the promos, but when they were debuting, we saw Rowan in the mask, and he runs in the house, and then when we go in the house, Rowan's in the little room going, obey, obey, obey. What if the sheep mask is basically their way of sort of bringing people over, where, well, Rowan is in, and that's in quotations, but he's not fully brainwashed, or he's not fully viewed fully as a follower of Wyatt, that he's still seen as a sheep. And so they sort of mark him out as a sheep with the mask.
Interesting.
And it's just, it kind of sort of is, yeah, it's like, huh, that would be an interesting way to explain the mask. Of, well, yes, he's one of us, but he's still a newbie, and we're still sort of bringing him over to our side, as it were, and therefore he is still a sheep. So... And the other question of that is, well, at some point, would Rowan then be considered a full-fledged member, and would they have to find another sheep to put the mask on?
And that other sheep, quite possibly, is about 7 feet tall and breathes fire?
I don't know if you could get Kane in that mask. But that would be, actually that would be, lead to another interesting scenario of, would they then remove Kane's mask?
And give him that as the mask.
And give, well, I don't know if give him that as the mask, but basically sort of take off what they feel is,
basically break him down and mold him into a sheep or follower of theirs.
Right, break him down and make him into a sheep or a follower of theirs, but take away what really makes him unique.
Right.
Because the mask obviously makes him incredibly unique, and you don't see a lot of 7 feet tall guys walking around in a mask. So it's kind of something that makes him unique. It has become sort of this fan favorite thing that we recognize as Friendly Kane, as opposed to, in the past, it has represented Terrorizing Kane.
Yeah, it has.
So they've now kind of associated Mass Kane with something more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And could that be something as a way to get rid of the mask? If they're going to, I don't know if they are. It just, it seems like the mask sort of went back on, and it's never really been, I think, hugely successful.
Right.
That it went back on, because, one, it was never explained, but that's my own personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But two, they sort of dropped the ball with the storyline with Cena as far as it going back on. Because it was initially supposed to represent, you know, this really scary, dark, menacing version of Kane, and they didn't quite go all the way with it. And then they turned Kane face, and he's been sort of happy, friendly Kane ever since.
Right. I see that.
So, just random thoughts I have as I'm trying to go to sleep.
This is what she dreams about, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, I did have a dream about Dean and Roman Reigns.
Climbing up a mountain.
Climbing up a mountain.
But yeah, you've heard it here first. That, you know, that's what it means. It means a follower, a sheep.
That they're bringing over to the dark side.
Mm-hmm. So when it happens and when people start spouting it off, you heard it here first.
Yes, hashtag Rack exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, I think we will begin to wrap up. Do we have anything else we'd like to rant on?
I'm good at the moment.
I'm good as well. So, start plugging stuff.
Because that's my job. Saturday night, around 10 p.m. Eastern, we will be playing cards against humanity. We get evil. So you don't want to miss it. After that, CB Radio, Midnight Ish, CB Radio, weird, wacky, unusual. Myself, Rob Parks, and Subway, it's strange and unusual, and sometimes leads to a drunken takeover. Sunday, WTR, Sunday, Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Lindsay Ward this week, filling in for the Omega, who will be coming home from MetroCon. Follow him on YouTube at youtube.com/TGOmega and on the Twitter as well. He doesn't do live Twitter updates because he doesn't have the capabilities. So just follow him on the YouTubes. But yeah, WTR tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Lindsay Ward. Recap Monday Night Raw. Tuesday night's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Tully Brent Blanchard will be on the program. Wednesday night's GP Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Fursina. Go back and listen to last night's episode where they had Scott Hudson on the program to talk about the TNA Mount Rushmore. This week, it's Ring of Honor. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack Live right here at 11 p.m. Eastern. RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTMProductions.net. Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Go to CanadianAllPro.com. Get tickets now for this Saturday's Saddle Up event. Call Tim Stein 24/7 for your tickets.
So, all right, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWared. You can go to my brand new website. Yes, the new layout and the new design is launched. PsychWardDesigns.com. Go check it out. I worked very hard on it. It took me like 2 weeks to do it, so please go look. You can go to my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com. You can go to my Behance, Behance.net/LinsWard. The links are on the website. That's PsychWardDesigns.com again for all your PsychWard needs. Please visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, MemLanePromo.com, and of course TNAsylum.com for all your TNA needs. And lastly, check out all the other fun programming on this network because, yeah, we all work really, 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 really hard on this stuff. And we like it when you listen. So please listen, tell your friends, and disable your ad blockers and click on the Google ads.
Accidentally.
Accidentally. We don't encourage that type of thing because we totally don't encourage illegal activity. Not at all. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye.